Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless all of you on this blessed Sunday. This is Brother Nate, another God's Word to Man broadcast. And once again, I'm grateful to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, giving me the opportunity once again to share the Word of God again with you. Thank God for all of you that are listening to the broadcast. And once again, it doesn't matter what part of the world you're listening to the broadcast at. It doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are. I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any questions about the lesson, call me at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone lines will be open at all times throughout the broadcast. But for those of you that don't like doing it over the air, just contact my email address at godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's G-O-D-S-W-R-D, the number 2, M-A-N, @gmail.com. And once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we give unto you. Praise be to God. So for those of you who are listening or have been following us on Blog Talk Radio, once again, you know how we do this. We open up with prayer before we go into the lesson today. For those of you that are first-time listeners, that is what we do. Amen. So wherever you're listening to me, I want you to join in with me in prayer. Let us pray and petition the Lord together. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, once again, we come before you on this blessed day. We want to thank you, Lord God, for giving us the opportunity to assemble once again, even in your word. Father, we pray today for the presence of your spirit and that you will release unto us by your spirit light, understanding, revelation, knowledge. Father, that we may give you glory and honor and praise. For, Lord, we are in need of it so desperately in this hour. So, Lord God, look upon us with your mercy and grace. And, Lord, answer our petition in Jesus' name. And by the authority given me of Jesus Christ, I bind every demon and devil that seeks to hinder this broadcast. I bind every demon that try to mess with these airways and any kind of connection. In the name of Jesus, I plead the blood of Jesus against you and your works right now, Satan, in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' almighty name I pray. Amen. Praise be to God. Thank God for all of you that's been listening. Once again, this is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. And so tonight, we'll continue on with our overall series on talking about concerning the Jehovah's Witness. And for those of you who have been following, you know I told you there are different parts. So we're starting on a new part or a new section today. And it is titled Jehovah's Witness, Hell and Everlasting Torment. Hell and Everlasting Torment. And we're going to look at first thing we want to come to understand is that for those of us that are Christians who have been studying the scriptures and know what the Word of God said, we know that hell is not a beautiful place. It is not a place of peace. It is not a place where you can do your own thing. It is a place of torment. And there will be everlasting torment, especially when hell is also cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. So it is a place of torment in conjunction being everlasting torment. But here's the thing about the Jehovah's Witness. The Jehovah's Witness believe that such a place as hell, a place of torment, does not exist. They teach that it doesn't exist. They believe that it doesn't exist. Okay. They don't believe that there is a such thing as a place of everlasting torment. Hallelujah. And thank you, Jesus. For those of you that have been following me on this series, you know how I go about doing this. I give you what the Jehovah's Witness have to say on the subject. And amen. And then I give you what the Word of God has to say. So I want to read to you and give you the information concerning that, what Jehovah Witness teach and believe concerning hell being a place of torment, and also dealing with everlasting torment, okay? And glory to God. I thank God for Jesus. And as I told you before, the Jehovah Witness have a book called the NWT, New World Translation. They claim to be the actual translation of the Word of God, but once again, I'm here to tell you it's not. But however, they had other books and things that they have written and made comments on different things and that, and I will be coming to you with that. And then we will go into the scriptures to see what the Word of God actually has to say. I'm going to start off. Amen. I'm just going to flow with the leading of the Spirit. Amen. A brother named Brother Walter, the Kingdom of the Cults, and he did a study concerning the Jehovah Witness. And I want to give to you some of his findings that he found out that they believe. And we're going to talk even more extensively and look more extensively on this, because there are different reasons why the Jehovah Witness don't believe that hell is a place that exists, that is a place of torment. Okay. Hallelujah. And I'm going to read to you, starting off, what he found out concerning them, their belief or non-belief in this area. And then I will let you know, we will go into the actual scriptures on this particular thing. Now, glory be to God. In one of their books called Let God Be True, they said those who have been taught by Christendom believe the God-dishonoring doctrine of a fiery hell for tormenting conscious human souls eternally. So they said that it's a God-dishonoring doctrine concerning hell being a place of torment. In the same book, they said, it is so plain that the Bible hell is mankind's common grave that even an honest little child can understand it, but not the religious theologians. Now, once again, there they go on that reasoning and logic thing. Okay? Hallelujah. Jehovah's Witnesses are big on that reasoning and logic stuff. You know, big on it. In the same book, they says, who is responsible for this God-defaming doctrine of a hell of torment? The promulgator is Satan himself. His purpose in introducing it has been to frighten the people away from studying the Bible and to make them hate God. So now they're saying that this thing about hell being a place of torment, it's something that Satan made up to frighten people away from reading the Bible. Do you know, it's sad to say that even some Christians, some among the body of Christ, I have to say this, may be on the lines of thinking the same thing. Because some of them do not want you to tell people about hell. Amen. They label you as that fire and brimstone preacher, and, you know, doomsday preacher. You know, they label you with such a bad labeling because you're telling people about hell. Amen. And that's even some professing Christians. But anyhow, so far, as we read, so the Jehovah's Witness believe that Satan is the one that started it. Okay? In the same book, they says, imperfect man does not torture even a mad dog, but kills it. Clergymen attribute to God, who is love, the wicked crime of torturing human creatures merely because they had the misfortune to be born sinners. Wow. So they said an imperfect man don't even torture a dog. He kills it. Okay. Amen. So they said if the people would be a mad dog, And I guess God would take the place of in an imperfect man. And they said he won't even, you know, but anyhow, they use the term an imperfect man. They're saying that even a man that's not perfect wouldn't even torture a mad dog but kill it. I don't even know about that now because there's some men out there, you know. But anyhow, I can't get with you on that. Now, same book, Let God Be True. They said the doctrine of a burning hell where the wicked are tortured internally after death cannot be true, mainly for four reasons. Number one, because it is wholly unscriptural. Number two, it is unreasonable. Number three, it is contrary to God's love. And number four, it is repugnant to justice. So they said that the doctrine of a burning hell where the wicked cannot be true. They said, number one, the reason why it can't be true is unscriptural. Well, we know that they weren't reading the Bible scripture. Okay. That unscripture they talking about got to be their own scripture. They come from the NWT because it didn't come from the Bible. They talking about the biblical scriptures. Okay. Then they said the second reason is because it is unreasonable. See, there they go with that reason again. Okay. Amen. See, when we study the Word of God, you can't be using logic and reason. You got to. Thank you, Jesus. You need the Holy Ghost. You know, get you along your dictionaries and Bible concordance, but especially you need the Holy Ghost. Figure out. Let's say if you try to figure out something God has said in His Word or that He did just by your reasoning and logic, you'll stay forever confused. Okay, you'll just stay confused. They said the third reason why it's not true, because it's contrary to God's love. Listen, even the people that go to hell, it don't mean God hate them. They go to that place because they chose that place. And we get on, Lord say, we'll get on further in that. And number four, they say it's repugnant to justice. Well, God is the God of love, but He's the God of justice. And He says, okay, amen. You choose sin, that's the place you go. There has to be an answer for sin, okay? There's a consequence. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. In a book that they got called You Can Live, they said it is a lie which the devil has spread that the souls of the wicked are tormented in a hell or a purgatory. Now, we don't teach nothing about no purgatory. The scripture don't say nothing about no purgatory, but there is a hell. Amen. Now, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Based on reading that, I want to start off tonight with one of the reasons why, even, you know, and I gave you information on what they say about that, but let's start back up here slowly and talk about one of the reasons why the Jehovah's Witness don't believe that hell, a place of torment, doesn't exist, and why they don't believe in such thing as everlasting torment or everlasting punishment. One of the reasons why they don't believe, like once again, when you talk to them about hell, the place of torment, they'll let you, I don't believe that. I don't believe, and some of them go to a point to say, well, a loving God, how could a loving God, you know, put His children in hell? Anyhow, they'll say all that. How can a loving God send His children to hell? Well, a loving God wouldn't do that. Now, the people can choose, you know, He just don't up and send people to hell. If you choose, then He say, hey, that's where you got to go. Because you're not coming to heaven. You can't come to heaven in a rebellious state like you in, because guess what? Ain't nobody up in heaven starting a riot and say, hey, we refuse to do what God said. We're going to do our own thing. The last person that did that, you know what happened to him, for those of you that read the scriptures. Now, one of the reasons why the Jehovah's Witness don't believe that hell, the place of torment, and don't exist, is because what Walter Martin says they're thinking about the word death. They're thinking about the word death. Well, what you said, well, Brother Nate, what do you mean? The Jehovah Witness, they conceive or believe that the word death means unconsciousness or extinction. Okay? Or even annihilation. Okay? And they believe that, quote, the righteous shall be made immortal, but the wicked, when God, when they die or be in death, they're going to be annihilated or extinct, unconscious. Amen. Hallelujah. That's what they believe. So if you're wicked and you die, kapoof. That's it. You're going to be gone. You're going to be extinct. Hallelujah. You're going to be unconscious. You're going to be annihilated. Hallelujah. Now, let me give you a little information in connection with that, and we're going to look at some scriptures. Even when they said about the devil. Now, in their book they got called Let God Be True, you remember in Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 16 through 19, okay, how God told Satan that he was going to destroy him. He was Lucifer, and he rebelled up in heaven, and God said he's going to destroy him. Well, the Jehovah Witness maintained that Satan, when God said he was going to destroy him, that Satan was annihilated. Now, see, they go back and forth, and now, you know, they're talking about the devil of the day, but then in the other books, they'll say he was annihilated, okay? Amen. And they say that when God talk about destroying them, that he was annihilated. And so they look at the word death and destroy as being annihilated. So tonight, we're going to look at the word death because they think that the wicked, when the wicked die, that they're going to be annihilated. That only the righteous is going to be given immortality, but the wicked, they're going to be extinct when they die, or God do his thing completely. Now, here's the thing. You know, glory to God. Lord God, have mercy. So, let's take a look at that. Thank you, Jesus. Once again, they believe concerning hell and eternal punishment. The reason why they don't believe that hell is a place of torment, okay, is because that, for one thing, is what they believe concerning death, okay? Amen. It's what they believe concerning death. And like I told you before, they believe that death, they think death means annihilation or extinction. That when it comes to death, and you were died, you had a death, and you're wicked, poof, that's it. We're going to look at what the Word of God tells us what death really is, what it really means, okay, versus what the Jehovah Witness have to say. Now, before we go into that, let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. Now, there's a reason why we're going to go this route first, because I need to take you this route first to that will be a setup to show you the real deal, okay? So let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, okay? Amen? Death does not mean or deal with extinction or annihilation in the scriptures, okay? It doesn't mean it. Jehovah Witness tells you, hey, that's what it is. The wicked, they're going to be tormented. When they die or hit or reach the death, they're going to be annihilated. Extinct. When God destroys, extinct. Not, no. But that's what death, no, that's their quote, conception or perception of what death means from the Word of God. But that is not what it means, okay? That's not what the Word of God shows death means, okay? Now, we look at that 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, and the word of God said, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Holy here is completely holy, okay? And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, notice that Paul mentions spirit, soul, and body. Now, you said, well, Brother Nate, why do we go there first? Because this is telling you the fullness of man. When God created man, he created man in his fullness, spirit, soul, and body. Spirit, he has a soul and he lives in a body. That's what this is about. Now, I open up with this scripture because we're going to go into some scriptures where I'm going to show you that death does not mean, according to the word of God in the scripture of death, it is not meaning annihilation or extinction. Okay? Neither when God told Satan or Lucifer, I'm going to destroy you. Destroy you, that didn't mean annihilation or extinction. But we're looking at the word death tonight. Amen? To show you that that is not true. That's one of the reasons why they don't believe that hell, a place of everlasting torment, exists. Because they say that, hey, the wicked, once they die, they're going to be annihilated or extinct. And that's what death means to them, as they say, according to the scripture. But that's not how the scripture lets you know what death represents. Death represents, get this from the scripture, separation. Separation. Now, once again, keep in mind this scripture here, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, okay? And now we're going to go into the scripture. Now, there's two types of death that means separation that I want to run by you, okay? Let's go to James chapter 2. James chapter 2. And we're going to go to verse 26. James chapter 2, verse 26. Okay? I'm going to take a look at this. Amen. James chapter 2, verse 26. Now look what the word of God has to say. It said, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Do you get that? Notice it said, for as the body without the spirit. So remember 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, Paul said, I pray to your whole what? Spirit, soul, and body. This verse right here is physical death. And notice that it is when the body is without the spirit or when they are separated. Okay? That's death. I sense the Holy Ghost. That's why when the Bible says in Matthew chapter 27, verse what? 52, when it talks about after Jesus rose, the many bodies of the saints which slept arose. Notice it said the bodies and not the spirits. Okay? When someone is completely dead physically, the spirit is not in the body. Amen? The spirit not in the body. Now, I'm going to say something. Once again, I'm not trying to be sensitive, but I'm being actually true according to what the scriptures say. I have heard a lot of people say, you know, when they say mad at another family member, they'll say, you didn't go out there and visit your mother's grave. Your mother turning over your in her grave if she knowing what you're doing. And I'm like, whoever you're talking to, mother's not in the grave. Her body is in the grave, which is the house that her spirit lived in. But she's not in the grave. It's just like when we are at a funeral. When you look in the casket, you see the house that the spirit was in, the real person, which is a spirit being, okay? That's what you see. You understand what I'm saying? And hallelujah. That spirit is not in that body, in that casket. It's just the body. And the body separates completely. That's physical death. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, let's go to 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. Thank you, Jesus. 1 Kings chapter 17. Thank God for the word of God and for his spirit. 1 Kings chapter 17. I'm going to look at verse 17. Go to verse 22. And this is the woman who gave Elijah something to eat. Her and her son had very little. She said they was going to eat that and die. And so in verse 17, it said, "And it came to pass that after these things, that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him." And she said unto Elijah, "What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou coming to me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son?" And he said unto her, "Give me thy son." And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, "O Lord God, O Lord my God, hast thou brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son?" And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, "O Lord my God, I pray thee, child's soul, come into him again." And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came unto him again, and he revived. So, remember, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 says, "I pray to your whole spirit, soul, and body." Now, this right here is also physical death. But notice that it said the soul depart from the body. You say, "Well, Brother Nate, which is which? Soul, spirit, what?" The spirit and soul is different, but they leave together. So you find in one scripture it is mentioned the spirit, and another scripture is mentioned the soul. What it is, they leave together. Do you understand what I'm saying? So when a person is physically dead, the spirit and the soul has departed from the body. So death right here does not mean annihilation. It does not mean the boy was extinct. Do you see that? Wasn't extinct. He wasn't annihilated because he died. It's not what death is showing here in the scripture. It's showing separation. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. His soul returned back in his body, along with his spirit. No, the spirit and the soul is not the same. They're different, but they lead together. Because the real you is a spirit being. Your soul is your mind, will, and emotions. So when a body is dead, not only is his spirit left, but also his soul. He still don't have no memory going on in there, no feelings going on in there. Amen? I ain't trying to be funny. I'm trying to be straight. You go up there and you punch that dead body hard as you could. What? It ain't going to do nothing. There's no feeling in there, no emotion. No. So death does not signify annihilation or extinction. And see, the Jehovah's Witness keep claiming that at death, even when they said about Satan in their book, "Let God Be True," that when God told Satan he was going to destroy him, that means Satan was annihilated. That don't mean that. That destroy, that means brought to ruin. Okay? But death does not mean annihilation or separation. And so they claim the reason why they don't believe that hell is a place of torment, of everlasting torment, is because the wicked is going to be annihilated at death. No. Death means separation. Physical death, separation. Now, let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Back to the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 2. Thank you, Jesus. Ephesians chapter 2. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We're going to look at verse 1 to verse 3 and then go to verse 13 and verse 14. Okay? Because this is the second death I want to talk to you about. And either way it goes, this first one I show you and this second one still deal with separation. Okay? separation. Okay? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 said, "And you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Now let's stop there for a minute. Paul is talking to the Christians here at Ephesus. And he said, God have quickened you or revived you when you were dead in trespasses and sins. Because he's taking them back to their past. Not to be thrown in their face, but he's trying to make a point. And he says, when in time past ye walked. Now let's stop there. Okay, Paul, you said they were dead in trespasses and sin. Now you're talking about they walk. Well, we must understand that this walk right here does not mean literally walk. It's dealing with how they live. And so if it didn't mean literally walk, definitely the word dead here in verse 1 could not mean physically dead. So therefore, this word dead here means spiritually dead. They were physically alive, but they were spiritually dead. Death had a hold in their spirit. Okay? Hallelujah. Because if they were physically dead, there's no way that verse 3 would be valid by him saying, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in other words, our lifestyle and the lust of the flesh. How could they have a lifestyle if they were physically dead? Amen? So therefore, dead here is not physically dead here, it's spiritually dead. Okay? Now look at verse 13, what Paul tells. He said, but now, but now, in Christ Jesus, ye were sometime, you're going back to the past again, ye who sometime were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace. He hath made both one and have broken down the middle wall or a partition or division between us. Okay? See, you were separated from Jesus. Okay? You were made nigh by his blood. When you received Christ, you were brought back. Hallelujah. To the Lord. So spiritual death is separation from God. Hallelujah. Amen. It's separation from God. Physical death is the separation from the spirit and soul separated from the body. Spiritual death is when you're separated from God. Okay? It doesn't mean annihilation. See, in verse 1, he said you were dead in trespass and sin. Then he go around talking about you were walking according to the course of this world. Well, if they were dead, they should have been annihilated and extinct, shouldn't it? But they wasn't. They wasn't. Hallelujah. They wasn't. So the Bible here, it doesn't present death as annihilation or extinction. It presented as separation. As Frederick Price would say, hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory. Glory to God. Let's go to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. Amen. Genesis chapter 2. Hallelujah. We're going to look at verse 16 and 17, okay? Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. Word of God said, and the Lord God commanded a man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Glory. Now, we know, and many of you more or less have read the story, that Adam did eat it. And notice what God said. Now, we got to understand something. When God says something, he means what he say. I think not only, I'm guilty many times myself, that we forget that when he speaks to us or give us a word, even through his word or by his spirit through his word, he means what he says. And sometimes we forget it. Even with the promises of God in our life, we forget that God means what he says. See, we're more subject to say something that we didn't mean. We'll even go back and say, I'm sorry, I didn't mean that. But God means what he says. So in other words, you could take God at his word. So if God tell you, say, for example, if God said, tomorrow that tree going to turn black, or that tree going to turn red, white, or blue, you can best believe it's going to happen. So when he told Adam, the day that you eat that fruit, okay, that represents the sin, thou shalt surely die, okay? He told him that. He said, the day you eat it. He just said, days you eat it, or years down the road. He said, the very day, the very moment you eat it, the very time you eat it, you're going to die. Now, when you ask some people, say, Adam ate the food, right? And they said, yeah. Did he die? They said, no. I said, yes, he did. Well, no, he didn't. He was still walking around. I said, you're looking at physical death. He died spiritually. Now, look at chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Now, look at verse 9 and 10. This is after Adam has disobeyed. He ate the fruit. Now, look what he says here. He says, and the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. Now, this is after Adam had disobeyed God and sinned and ate the forbidden fruit. Now, notice what God asked him a question. He said, where art thou? Now, if you were to read this with reasoning, like the Jehovah Witness do, or uses a lot of logic and reasoning, you'll say, oh, Adam, he is somewhere to God, couldn't find him. Well, you mean you can hide from God? No. The reason why he asked Adam, where art thou? Because Adam became separated spiritually from God. Do you get that? That's why he asked him that. So where art thou? In other words, you're not standing in the same place spiritually like you were. You cut off from me. Amen. So Adam did die. He died spiritually death here. He was cut off from the presence of God. That's why when even God came, the Bible said he came, the first thing Adam do, him and his wife, what did they do? They go hide. Now, the same Adam who God had talked to without sending an angel to bring the message, but talking to him, Adam didn't get up and run when God was talking to him. And he said that, hey, you can eat from every tree of this garden except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The Bible just said, oh, Adam heard his voice, jumped up and ran. Adam didn't run. But now all of a sudden, here comes God in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife take off. Why? Because they were spiritually cut off. And they receive the sin nature. And the sin nature causes you to run away from God. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's why some of you is dealing with loved ones who are not saved. And every time you talk about the word of God, they got to go. I got to go and run out. That's what's happening. That nature is in operation. Glory. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I sense the Holy Ghost. Heed up out of ocean. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's look at Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 4 said, and I saw thrones. This is Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. He said, and I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. That's the millennial reign. So he's talking about those he saw that was killed for the word of God's sake. Okay? They were dead, but they were saved. Okay? He said they lived with Christ, they was resurrected, and live with Christ 1,000 years, that's millennial reign. Verse 5 said, but the rest of the dead, okay, so the rest of the dead got to be those who weren't saved. They got to be wicked, okay? But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Verse 6, blessed and holy is he that have part in the first resurrection. So they were saved. They were holy. On such the second death have no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Okay? So the second death had power on those who wasn't holy. They were wicked. Okay? Verse 12 says, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead, which were in it, and death and hell delivered the dead, which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. Now, if they was annihilated or extinct, what they doing being judged? Okay? And he said, and death and hell were cast to the lake of fire. This is the second death. Okay? And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So they was eternally separated from God. They was dead. This is where the second death has its hold on them. You understand what I'm saying? But if they was annihilated or extinct, because remember, they're the ones who was not resurrected in the first resurrection to reign with Christ 1,000 years. So they had to be the wicked one. So if they were wicked and they died, how is they being judged if they was annihilated or extinct? Amen. They wasn't. Hallelujah. They still exist. And by them being dead also, they were separated from God. Now they're put into the lake of fire and brimstone. That's not a place in heaven, okay? That's not a place in heaven. That's another place. That's a place of torment. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. A place of torment. Thank you, Jesus. So they was not extinct. They was not annihilated because they were dead. And hell, that gave up his dead, that's the place where the wicked were. They were not unconscious, they were conscious. Okay? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. In the word of the Lord, in the vision that God has showed and gave to Brother Drace and using the angel messenger in it, and praise be to God that Brother Drace had what the Lord had blessed him to see in his vision. Amen. He said that the messenger, which is the Elijah, God's man, who he had sent, the resurrected John the Baptist, he had sent as an angelic messenger for the Lord, told and said that, and the sea should give up her dead, just like it says in Revelation. Hell and grave should give up their dead. And on that morn of the resurrection of the Lord, there shall be no more scenes like this. So he said, hell and the grave should give up their dead. The grave going to give up the dead bodies. Hell is going to give up the dead spirits. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Because hell is a place that is not in heaven. It's a place away and separated from God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I remember Brother Bill Weiss. Some of you may have heard him. Wrote a book called 23 Minutes of Hell. He said the Lord let him experience and be in hell for 23 minutes. And he said that while he was there, he said, in hell and torment and things, he was experiencing how he was feeling. Many times he said he had no strength. He always stayed extremely thirsty and how he was tormenting them demons was there. And he said he noticed that he had no thought about Jesus. And so when the Lord brought him out, because the Lord wanted him as well with others that God had used to testify to people that hell is real. And guess what? It ain't just to the Jehovah Witness. Some of God's own people don't believe that such a place exists. But he said, he asked the Lord, he said, Lord, how come I couldn't think about you in hell? And he said, Jesus told him, in hell, there is no hope. You know, there's no thought. Because when you are totally separated, you're cut off from God. Okay? Hallelujah. In hell. Harabashata. Glory. I sense the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Glory. My Lord. And see, if there's anything, now, the Jehovah's Witness talking about the concept of hell being a place of torment is something that made up by Satan. If there's anything made up by the devil, it's by them telling you it don't exist. That's why I think that we do a grave injustice to people by not telling them the fullness. See, this is why Jesus talks about preaching the gospel fully, spending most of the time preaching half of it. All we do is tell people about heaven, and we're supposed to. But see, we're supposed to warn them about the other place. Think about Jesus, the greatest one ever. Now, what if Jesus just sat there and talked to you about heaven, 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 and never told you there's another place called hell if you don't accept him? And then all of a sudden, you still reject him, and you die in your sin. Now you're heading to hell, and you're like, what is this place? What is this? And you experiencing what the other said, they smell of the flesh burning and the torment and all that down there. And you hollering, what is this place? What is it? And the Lord, he never told me about this place. Well, see, God wouldn't be just. Amen. And see, we have spent a lot of our time in that injustice cycle by not telling people the full truth. By not telling people that, hey, not only just about heaven, but telling about hell. And see, some of the people, some in the body of Christ, they try to get on you. Don't tell them that. You'll scare them. I'm not trying to scare them. I'm trying to warn them. And see, this is why some people, even the more, they take Jesus lightly. They start thinking to themselves, shoot, they're talking about heaven. Well, I'm going to do my own thing, live my own thing. Then when I feel like settling down, then I might go ahead and accept it. That's their attitude. And in part, I say in part, but not completely, in part, we in the body of Christ have helped that form. You understand what I'm saying? Because we just have telling. We're not telling people about hell neither. We just tell them about heaven. Oh, heaven, heaven, accept Jesus, you go to heaven. And that's true. But we don't tell them about the other part, where if you reject the Lord, there's another place that awaits, and Jesus don't want you to go there. And then you got the Christians, some of the Christians in the corner telling you, shh, be quiet. Don't tell them that. You're going to scare them. No, I got to warn them. Listen, if any of y'all being my brothers and sisters in Christ, or even if you wasn't, let's say if I wasn't saved, but you were saved or whatever, and you see me walking, and you know that while I'm walking, there's an ending, a drop, and I'm thinking, hey, I could just keep walking. I want you to warn me. Wouldn't you want somebody to warn you? Or are you going to just tell me, say, well, when you get to the other side, you got all these good things waiting on you. Okay. But if you don't tell them, say, hey, but wait a minute, before you can get to the other side, there's a drop right there, and you need to get on such and such a thing. If you don't tell me that and let me keep walking, I'm going off the cliff and could get killed. So what I'm saying is this. For some of you that are Christians that's listening to this and thinking, well, I don't think you need to tell them about hell. Well, guess what? You're not doing the full job that you're called to do. And if that be the case, then you're going to tell me Jesus was wrong, because Jesus talked about his hell as much as he did heaven. Amen. And he was warning people not to go to that place. So how is it that we beating down one another talking about you shouldn't tell them that you're scared? Needs to warn them. We need to warn them. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank God for the Holy Ghost and power. The Holy Ghost and power. Our gracious and almighty God, Jesus Christ, our Lord, we are grateful for this opportunity you have given us. I thank you, Lord, for blessing me to come with your word tonight and just to give your word unto the people. Father, I pray, Lord God, that you would Hallelujah. Glory to God. You will touch the heart of everyone that is seeking truth, that you reveal this truth unto them. Even the Jehovah Witness that is listening and maybe contemplating on what has been said, I pray, Lord, that you would reveal this truth unto them in the name of Jesus. Let your word go forth, Lord God, and bring glory and honor to your name. Father, I thank you. Lord, I praise you, for you are worthy. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Praise be to God. Thank God for all of you that have been listening to the broadcast. Don't forget, the Lord say the same tomorrow night. Brother Emmanuel Murphy should be coming on. Praise be to God. Look for the advertisement tomorrow night at 7 o'clock p.m. And if the Lord say the same, I should be back on Tuesday. And I'm going to be coming with part two, Jehovah Witness, Hell and Everlasting Torment, part two. Amen. Praise be to God. So look for the advertisement then. So, once again, this is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. And may God bless you. May he keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.
If I can hear from you, then I'll know what to do. I won't go on, never go on my own. Just let your spirit guide, and let your word abide.
Speak to my heart, Lord.
Oh, my heart.
Give me your holy word. If I can hear from you,
if I can hear,
then I'll know.